I was born in a drought year, Wendell Berry writes, and all my life I have dreaded the return of that year, sure that it still is somewhere like a dead enemy's soul. Fear of dust in my mouth is always with me. We are living right now in a drought year. Some of us have wells that have gone dry. Others of us may be less directly affected, but we have still stopped watering plants and lawns and are doing what we can to conserve the water that we have. As a farmer, Wendell Berry is particularly attuned to this. Fear of dust in my mouth is always with me. Each of us has fears and things we worry about. It's part of the human condition, isn't it? To worry. But you know, we don't make the best decisions and we aren't our best selves when fear overwhelms us, when we act from a place of fear. That's why good religion always reminds us that when it comes to fear, we always have a choice. Fear not, we are told. This doesn't mean don't ever be afraid. Everyone is afraid some of the time. It means don't act on your fears. Take courage and have faith. I remember an old woman that I knew who one time said in her later years she was trying to become less of a worrier and more of a warrior. We come to church on this day, September the 11th, remembering those who were lost 15 years ago, and all of those who, in spite of the danger, ran toward trouble. And it is right and good that we remember the loss and the sacrifice and the many acts of kindness and courage that took place in those days. And 15 years later, we would do well to consider from this perspective how our nation responded and is still responding to those events, those difficult events. Can we acknowledge that too often it was with fear and with bluster rather than with love and compassion? That too often for us human beings, the desire for vengeance is stronger than the desire for understanding and reconciliation. That it takes courage to respond with love rather than with fear. And we came to church today bringing water from places that have nourished and blessed us, remembering the times and places that have watered our parched souls. Take a minute right now, if you will, and remember that place you brought water from, or that place you would have brought water from. Imagine that place, what it's like to be there. You can go back there right now, can't you? In a certain way, you can go back there whenever you want. You have that ability. And you know, our bodies thirst for water. Our earth thirsts for water. And our souls thirst too. And don't we come here as well as go to those other places seeking living water that will nourish and sustain us. I love that we bring our holy water here, that we have this ritual that's a tangible expression of the fact that we already know how to put ourselves in the presence of that which is holy and good, that we can touch these life-giving springs. This water I brought today came from Gosport Harbor out on Star Island, where I spent a holy week last month, where not only my soul was watered, but my body was also watered in that cold ocean water. And I hope today, following the service, you'll tell me and tell others about the places you brought water from and why those places are holy to you, the experiences that you had there. We'll keep this water you brought today, and we'll purify it, of course, and then combined with the water we've been collecting for 19 years now, we'll use it for child dedications and baptisms. I'll take some. I store it in a wine bottle in my office. And I'll pour it into a bowl. And I'll take some of that water when it's time, and I'll put it on the forehead and on the head of that little one. And I'll say their name, and I'll say, "Know that you are beloved on this earth." Don't we all need to hear that? Know that you are beloved on this earth. Where I went to seminary, in the chapel, there was a small bowl, probably about this size, deeper, that was attached to the wall right inside the entrance to the chapel. And it was filled with water. And if you wanted to, when you walked in, you could put your fingers into it, and most people would touch it to their forehead as a way of entering that sacred time and space. And I got in the habit of doing that as I walked into chapel. I would touch that water, and I would touch it to my forehead as a way of crossing over that transition. And one day, one of my friends saw me doing this, and he did a double take. And he said, "But you're a UU." And I said, "I still need a blessing. Know that you are beloved on this earth." Because we all need blessing, don't we? Each of us gets dry and parched sometimes. And so we come to places like this sanctuary and this community to drop down into these deep wells of blessing, to find living water there. Some of you will remember that the Grateful Dead have a song about this. It goes, the verse I'm thinking of, "Reach out your hand if your cup be empty. If your cup be full, may it be again. Let it be known there is a fountain that was not made by the hands of men." There is a fountain, the poet says, to solace the dryness at our hearts. It is still there and always there, with its quiet song and strange power to spring in us. So let us in these days drop down into these wells of blessing. And let us reach out our hands like cups to receive these blessings. and to touch one another. Let us open our hearts and our lives to one another and to the life and love and blessing and possibility that are all around us. Let us give thanks for it all. Amen.